Helen, you got married in 1918. Mm-hmm. Where did you live when you were married?
Wasina, Kansas.
And what did your husband do?
He was a farmer.
So, you lived on a farm?
Yeah, we lived on a farm.
Can you describe it for me?
Did I show you the pictures of that cemetery? Well, that cemetery is up on the hill in this house where we live. He bought the property from his uncle. His mother's brother, anyway. And his name was Moscow.
How big a place was it?
I think it was 160 acres. And we bought that, and it had a, well, it had a house, you know, with big pine trees out in the front. And when the wind would blow, the pine trees sing, you know. And he is a wheat and corn farmer, you know. And of course, they raised some animal stuff, stock, you know, but not too much in that line, mostly a farmer.
What was the house like?
Well, it had a small kitchen and a quite a large sort of like a living room. And then it had a bedroom downstairs. And then it had a bedroom upstairs. But we never used the one upstairs because we just used the one downstairs. I can remember when we bought some new furniture stuff, you know. Some things we bought old, like tables and chairs, but then we bought new bed and mattress and stuff. And mornings we'd get up in the morning and there'd be little spots of blood around on the sheet or on the pillow slip. And I didn't know what it was. So one day his mother, she was quite crippled, and she walked down, and I had the sheets out, I was going to wash them, I didn't know what that was. And she said, well, I'll tell you what I think it is. She says, it's bed bugs. I said, it can't be, that's a brand new mattress, just got it. She said, they could be in the house. She said, let's go look at the bed. You know how mattresses have this tuft down in it?
Yeah.
Well, the bed wasn't made because I had the sheets out. And she went in there and she pulled one of those tufts up and it was just alive with bed bugs all around in this thing. Well, we hauled that mattress out into the yard and I was so exasperated, I didn't know what to do. I just took a broom handle and I just mashed those bed bugs like crazy. And then I went into town and I had to tell the druggist what I wanted, something to kill bed bugs. And he looked at it, of course he'd known me all my life. And I said, we found out where they were coming from. The people that lived there before us used the bedroom upstairs, and this room downstairs they used as a storage room for dry feed for hogs or chickens or stuff, and the baseboards weren't tight, and of course the walls were papered in those days. Well, we ripped the paper all off the wall, and they're behind the paper, and we ripped the quarter round and the, what little baseboard was along there. Yeah, and of course this feed and stuff was all, and they just hoarded them, you know. You never saw anything like it. So we couldn't sleep in that room no more. So we went upstairs, but we got another bed and stuff, you know. And I was scared if anything was in that room. Well, we got rid of them all right enough, but we had to go get formaldehyde candles. Because like I said, we cleaned it, and we took something, I don't know what it was, my mother-in-law used, and we mopped the room all around everywhere to kill, and then as I say, we stripped the wallpaper off of everything we could off of it, and then we burned these formaldehyde candles in there to kill a bed bug. That was my first experience of ever seeing a bed bug. I mean, oh, that was awful. But it had I was always confused as to what direction was what, but I would say it's east. It had a big glass door, panel in the door. And as you went out on the porch, there was a cistern that you were in. get water. It was one of you when it had little cups on the thing and you lined it around and around. And that's where we got, it wasn't our drinking water, but we used it for washing and for, because it was soft water, rainwater, you know. And after we got that bedroom cleaned up and all and everything, well, we moved back in there because I was expecting a baby. It was hot that in the summertime, you know, the baby was born in November. But it was hot, and that room was so much cooler. And it was in the afternoon sometime. My husband was out in the field. And I was lying there on the bed, and for some reason or other, I could see I felt like something was going down across the window. And it couldn't have been a tree limb because the trees were too high. And I thought, what could that be? It looks like a long rope going down the thing there. And I roused up, and it was a big snake.
Oh my God.
He was absolutely the hugest thing I ever saw in my life. And I went outside, and I got the broom under him, and he went down the drain that went into the cistern. Well, my husband and later on, some men came, and they went in there and plugged up any holes or whatever. And I think they caught the snake. It was huge, a big black snake. That was another experience.
Oh, dear.
And that fall, I must have been, it was long in the fall. I expect I was probably 7 months pregnant, a little more. And I'd gone to town for some reason or other, and a storm came up. And we always put our little car in a place in the barn, like where a hay rack would go into there. And I was trying to get to the house, but it was thundering and lightning, something terrible. And we had great big cottonwood trees from the barn to the house. And a bolt of lightning come along and just flattened me to the ground. I laid there flat on the ground. I couldn't even get up, but I wasn't hit. It was just the force of something. And my husband was in the house. He'd come in from the storm. And he happened to look to see why I wasn't coming here. I was laying flat on the ground. So he came down and helped me in the house. That was the first time I struck the lightning, not hurt. But those are just experiences living on the farm.
Before you got married, did you have any expectations about what married life would be like?
None whatsoever. Just an ignorant 20-year-old. Was I 20? I believe I was 20. 1918? I'd have been about 20. Yeah, I was 20 in May, and I married in November. That was really nice. No, I had no recollection or no idea whatsoever. I just knew people got married. And we were going to be married sooner, but that was 1918 war, and the boys were being called drafted, and my husband was deferred 3 times because he was a wheat farmer. They needed the grain. So he was deferred, but he thought he was to be called around the fore part of November, and then they called off. The war was over or something, you know. So then we went ahead and made plans to get married. We got married on the 26th, I believe it was November. I forget. It's been so long ago.
What kinds of things did you do with your time when you first were married, before you had children?
Well, when we first got married, we didn't get possession of this farm right away. And across the creek was a little two-bedroom house that was on my husband's brother's farm, and we lived in that I had that 1918 flu, and I was awfully sick for a month or more, and I think we didn't move over into that place until the latter part of December or sometime in the fourth part of January. And we lived over there till we could get possession of the farm, which was just by blocks, I suppose, 2 blocks from where we were. And try to make a little home in a same place like that, you know. And also to recuperate from the flu. I remember we had I don't know where he got it, this old washing machine. And I supposed everybody had to wash like my mother washed, with a boiler on the stove was full of water, and you had it bring it to a boil, and you put soap and lye in it, and then you put your sheets and stuff in there to get them white. Well, then we'd put them over in the washing machine, and it was a hand thing. It was like this, you know, on these hands. And my husband wasn't, it was wintertime, so he'd do that. Then we'd hang the sheets out on the line after you threw, rinsing them or whatever. They'd freeze stiff as a board. I remember he wore long underwear. And he'd go out and hang them up. And you never saw such funny ways of hanging clothes. He'd hang them, you know, and he'd hang them up, and there his underwear. So they just stiff as a board. Some experience learning how to keep house.
Had you had inside chores like that at home before you were married?
Oh, yeah. But it's like I said, that's the way my mother washed, and I didn't know that there was any other way to wash, you know. But I learned later on, because I got a different washing machine then later on. And then I quit boiling clothes in the boiler. We had a boiler, all right, enough, but that was the only way you had heat and water. But I didn't boil the clothes in it anymore. I didn't think this was boiling clothes. But that's the way they did it in those days.
Did your husband have help on the farm?
During the peak of harvest, I would say. Now, in plowing and planting and that sort of thing, no. But when it came to harvesting, then he didn't have private help. But he'd help his neighbors, and then when it was his turn, they'd help him. Neighbors helped each other in those days. They didn't put any money out, you know. And then whose farm they were working on, that was up to the housewife there to prepare the new meal. And we always had help that way. The neighbors would come in and help. I'd go help my neighbor, and then they'd come and help me. They, you know, I don't know how many they'd be, I can't recall now, but that's the way. They didn't hire. Now, later on in years, we hired a man, but in those first years, we didn't. And we lived on that place for, well, let's see, our oldest daughter, Betty, was born there. We moved there in, you know, I guess the latter part of March. Sometime, fourth part of March, probably. And she was born on that place November the 23rd. I forget the book to see. And then we lived there.
Was she born the next year then?
1990? Uh-huh. We were married on the 26th. She was born on the 23rd of November, and we were married on the 26th of November. Sounds pretty bad. But it was the year between, you know. But we didn't know nothing about birth control in those days.
It kind of
did what come naturally. Then we lived on that farm until she was about, well, we sold the farm anyhow, I think the next year. And then we rented a farm, the old keeper place. And I don't know how he managed for to pay that. I didn't do nothing with management in those days. I suppose crop sharing or something, I don't know. And then we moved into this big 8-room house. Had 4 bedrooms upstairs and 2 bedrooms and a big living room and a great big kitchen downstairs. But we just lived in the downstairs. And a year, 15 months after she was born, our son was born, 15 months apart. And he was born on the Kiefer place. Right, it was just a repetition of farm work there, though. It was the grain and some stock, mostly corn and wheat.
What was it like being pregnant for you?
Beautiful. I loved my babies. I didn't have any problems to speak of, except early morning sickness, you know. You didn't. But I had this one doctor that said that I would eat a cracker or a piece of toast or something before I got up on my feet, I would have had that morning sickness. And I learned that, and my husband would, when he always had to get up so early in the morning, and I'd get up too around 4:30 in the morning and get him out to work. But as time went on, I got so it was hard to get around. Though he would get up himself because it was getting fall of the year, so he didn't have to be out working. So he'd get up and fix his own breakfast a lot of times. And in those days, the same as it was the 50 years we was married, he had to have oatmeal for breakfast. We were married 50 years, and I think he had oatmeal 365 days out of the year. And we didn't have the quick cooking. We had to cook it a long time.
What was childbirth like?
My babies were all born at home. I had a baby doctor, a pediatrician in Michigan, from the big city, St. Joseph, Missouri. And I showed you the picture of that lady that cooked our breakfast, you know. Well, she was the midwife. She came out and stayed with us, and she stayed with us. My husband didn't go and get her until, I guess the day about time the baby was going to be born. And the doctor came out to the house, and you had the baby. And it was, as I look back on it, it was rather a trauma experience. Remember this one, we had a dog, a great big dog. I don't know where my husband got it. His name was Jip. We never allowed it in the house, and it was a very affectionate, very nice dog. And he must have sensed something was going on in the house, because I guess my screaming and what have you. And he was at that front door with his big glass and the door. He was there, and he sat looking in at all times at that door. And when the baby cried, he began to scratch and want me in the, you know, of course you couldn't let him in. But as afterwards, when the baby was born, like, and all that dog guarded her with his. It was something else. And that was the prettiest baby I think that was ever born.
I'm sure.
I remember reading the book so many times about Helen's babies. But I thought, well, that was one of those. It was Helen's baby.
Now, when was your third child born?
She was born in 1928. About 10 years after the other one, she came along. I'd had some misses in between, however. But she came along. She was born in September 1928. And she was also born at home. They didn't take you to the hospital in those days. I don't know when that hospital bit started, really. It wasn't in my time, I know, when I was having babies.
You said you had miscarriages in between?
Yeah, I think, I can't recall offhand, I had three. They come too fast, you know. And then one time, in my mind, I'd have to get that book in there to refresh my memory. See, I had an abscess on one of them when I had that one miscarriage.
An abscess on the baby?
No, on my ovaries, I guess. That was in 1923, and this one was 1929. And I had Shirley was born then. No, she wasn't either. 1929. She was born 28. Okay, she was born 1928. You don't have that on, do you?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, anyhow, we didn't have baby food in those days either to feed babies. Mm-hmm. And as she got up to be about 5 months old or somewhere like that, while I had plenty of milk, evidently it wasn't satisfying her. And she just wanted to nurse all night long. And she just chewed my one breast so bad that I got an abscess on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got scars now that they run rubber tubes with holes in it, like a pipe,
mm-hmm.
through this side and this side to drain it. It must have been big as a gallon crock, mm-hmm. black and blue. That was in 29. Now this one here was 1934. That was the last mess I had. I had an ectopic tube.
Mm.
You know what that is? The baby's starting to form in the tube.
Yeah.
And we went to move, and my son and I was going, he was 10 years, 11 years old. We went to move an old ice box that we just had ice put in it, you know. We went to move it for some reason, I know. And I guess I hurt myself, and anyhow, I screamed and fell backwards, and my son ran all the way to the, well, he tried to call the doctor, and the doctor had gone to the post office on his way over to St. Joe, and my son ran all the way to the post office and caught him and brought him up there, and they rushed me to the hospital because there was nothing he could do. The tube had dropped, and that was why I was in so much pain. I didn't even remember what year that was, 1934. Well, that's the people that adopted me.
You live near St. Joseph, Missouri?
They always said about 7 miles, but after they put in, they paved the road through, they always said it was 5 miles, but it was over in Missouri. St. Joseph was across the Missouri River. You had to go across the bridge. And
so she lived in Kansas?
We lived in Kansas, and the little town we lived in, the name of Wathena,
mm-hmm.
was an Indian. People, Indians lived there, and Wathena was an Indian chief. I don't know that I know what tribe they were, but that was the centennial plate.
Mm. That's beautiful. How did your life change for you after you had babies?
Uh-huh.
After you had your babies, how did your life change? Your daily routine?
Well, you just took care of kids. And when they're little, they're pretty trying, you know. Some of them cry a lot and all that, you know. It was really quite a chore to raise children. And we lived in the country with the first two. And like today, they get a sore finger, you run to the doctor. We lived in the country. We couldn't run to the doctor. You took care of it yourself. You learned how to take care of your own, you know. And everybody seemed to have remedies, home remedies of some kind. They still call me Dr. Studer. People come, you know, even today. They come all around the neighborhood. They don't know what to do. But that's the way you took care of things, you know. You just, but it's like I said, though, I really, Shirley's got that old family album with the pictures of her, and I learned to do my own sewing. My babies had the prettiest clothes. Of course, like I said, I was creative in a way, because I tatted a lot and I crocheted a lot. I didn't do much knitting in those days. In fact, I didn't do much knitting until later years. But tatting and crocheting, now my baby said, my first baby, she had tatting all over her clothes. She still got a petticoat that I sent her here, you know, it was patched under the arms, you know, and how you put the tatting insertion in, you know, and she had, and then of course when a little boy, they had brother-sister suits. They were dressed in the same colors, and he a little boy and she a little girl. And then when Shirley came along, why, she had all kinds of pretty little handmade things too, you know. I remember this one, I had made her a pink crepe de chine coat and bonnet. And it was smocked all the way around. All right, and the bonnet was smocked across the top, you know. And I can remember we were in town that one day. No, we lived in town, but was downtown, and I suppose it was around Easter time or something, or after Easter time. And we were in the store, and this man that lived out on the farm where we used to live, he was crazy about all my kids. And Shirley, he just adored her. And here she was dressed up with all this beautiful pink stuff, and he buys her a chocolate ice cream cone. I could kill him.
I understand.
nothing but what was washable, and everything was absolutely washable, you know. But I tell you, anything. But I always enjoyed my children, and they were good children, very good. Like all kids, getting the message, you know.
What kinds of things did you do socially?
Well, Sundays we went, it was a ritual. You go to church, Sunday morning you go to church either 8 or 10 o'clock. Then you go home and have dinner, and then you might go visit a relative or somebody, or somebody come visit you on Sunday. During the week it was regular routine. You washed and you ironed and you cleaned house and you scrubbed the floor every Saturday whether it needed or not. But then as the children got older, well no, not all, they weren't that old either. We lived out on this Kiefer farm, and Betty and Greg were little. I wish I could lay my hands on those pictures. I had them not too long ago. And we played cards one night a week. Usually it would be on a Saturday night. Then we were too tired to get up Sunday morning and go to church. But anyhow, sometimes we'd change it and we'd play maybe Friday night. Well, whatever night we played once a week, and they would be, we had as many as, we'd gather up the neighborhood, you know, and we might have, I think we'd have as high as 8, maybe 10 couples, and we played pinochle. But there was four of us, let's see, there was us, and this good friend of mine, Mamie and Harold, and Mamie's brother and his wife, that was six of us. But we played together more than the rest of them did. Then we'd get an annual thing going, you know, and then they'd cook up a big batch of something and eat, you know. I know this one, she used to cook up a great big kettle of chili. And I remember this one night, you know, chili's kind of greasy, and we were out doing the dishes, and my diamond, which isn't a very big one, but it was a diamond, and it was a solitaire mounting. It stood up. So I took it off, and I went into my husband's room, and I dropped it down in his pocket. He had on a light-colored shirt, and I just dropped it down in his pocket, figuring I'd get it as soon as I got through being dishes. Forgot it. Now, we would take our children to these places and put them to bed on their beds. And they'd sleep, you know. And then we'd take them home sleeping, you know. But I forgot that ring, and of course next morning was Monday morning, and I took the stuff all out to